The following is a Castwave Studios production.
The Internet, the final frontier.
This panel was recorded live on location at BoroughCon 2017 at St. John's University in Queens, New York.
Enjoy. Hello, hello, all you out there in internet land. Welcome to a very special episode of Castwave Studios programming. We are here live at BoroughCon 2017.
How y'all feeling tonight?
I can tell you're all silent with anticipation.
Okay, fine.
Woo!
Thank you. Anyway, all right. Anyway, so this panel is about Marvel Cinematic Universe versus the DC Cinematic Universe. Who's doing what better?
Now, I feel like we've had this discussion quite a few times before, but, you know, because we're in New York and it's a special occasion.
I know it's certainly cropped up in my shows before. I mean, I haven't really gone out to say, you know, on, you know, in this corner MCU, in this corner DCEU, you know, who will prevail. But it's still, I guess, one of these has been going on long enough that that it's probably worth taking the time to really take stock of what's all been accomplished.
Well, to be fair, in the past it's just been like, oh, this Marvel show is this Marvel property is much better than its, you know, counterpart DC property, blah blah blah. But honestly, I think we should take an objective look at what's going well in Marvel, what's going well in DC.
Right.
Because both are doing great things. Both are doing kind of shitty things.
Also, let's be fair, neither of them really need to worry about money.
So, even if
their box office draw for a particular film is not the greatest, they're still going to do all right, you know? I mean, like, it's not like, hey, we're some indie film that's coming out of, you know, Sheboygan, and, you know, it's like we're just really, really banking on that, you know, that big on that box office. So
trying to please Wisconsin, eh, Brian?
Fair enough.
I can assure you, he was pointing west when he said that.
Hey. Anyway, so I guess we have a set of talking points here. I think we can just go down the line here.
Right.
So strengths. Let's start with MCU and
right.
Jordan, let's go ahead and start with you because you're the Marvel guy.
Well, if you insist.
Okay.
But I love the MCU. It is quite possibly one of my favorite things that's just happening in the world right now.
Yes.
I wasn't really sure it was going to make it for a while. I mean, I certainly really like the first Iron Man movie. The Incredible Hulk and the Iron Man 2 were notable steps down from there. The Thor and Captain America were solid and entertaining enough, but once Avengers hit, they just swung for the fences and they cleared the park, and we haven't really looked back since. This was a grand experiment that just worked. It was it really shook up just the concept of blockbuster movie making, a sphere that I was vastly losing interest in around the time. the MCU is appointment television and appointment theater for me, from now to the foreseeable future. Amongst its strengths, first, I guess I'd say verisimilitude. Just the fact that all these movies take place in the same world, which is exactly how the Marvel comics have been operating since, you know, at least the mid '60s. And I've certainly been a fan of the comics before that, so. It's just a treat to see the care and respect that the source material has seen as it gets adapted to the other mediums. There certainly have been some hiccups in that regard. I'm sure a lot of people would complain about the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. I mean, I myself was a little put off when Jarvis was Cortana in the first Iron Man, but. I'm just kind of rambling here, but other strengths are the scripts are mechanically rock solid. I love how there are so many little things that are foreshadowed in the first acts of these movies that pay off majorly in the third. I mean, I feel like, you know, as many hands that must be as tempting as it is for like the producers of Marvel Studios, the you know, a studio that makes nothing but Marvel films, like they you know, they would want to put as many cooks in the kitchen as possible. But even so, I still feel like the directors have enough freedom, enough comfort to craft the movies how they want them to be, while still, you know, dovetailing into all the other various, you know, jigsaw puzzle pieces that are floating around about the, in regards to other movies. And they're just a joy. They're just a joy to watch. They're fun. They're engaging. They're entertaining. Mm-hmm. Not sure what else to say.
Oh, no, I got you. All right, so that's strengths for Marvel. All right, so Brian, tell me the strengths of what you feel the DC Cinematic Universe brings to the table.
Well, certainly that's been a controversial subject for quite some time. A lot of people might not necessarily agree, but I do think that one of the biggest strengths that the DC Universe has going for it, and it might not necessarily be established just yet, but these are all characters that we've known since we were kids. You know, I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of people in the mainstream who might not have heard of Thor or Captain America or Iron Man, or might not have been really aware of them. Certainly Spider-Man and the X-Men, but, you know, growing up, you knew who Batman was. You knew who Superman was. You knew who the Flash was. And the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers has access to all those characters because they have access to the entire DC universe, you know, not only can they really bring something together and they can finally start putting characters together that we've seen in comics for years now and start getting some really interesting stories out of that. But then you can start bringing in different things as well. Like, you can start bringing in characters that we might not have known. Like, you know, like we have Justice League Dark coming out in the foreseeable future, which, you know, that's going to be interesting. Personally, I think that their biggest strength, while it hasn't been shown just yet, is that they have a lot of room to grow. And I think that that's going to benefit them in the future.
Okay. All right, so obviously we've talked about strengths. Now let's talk about weaknesses.
All right.
And I'm going to flip this. And Jordan, I want you to tell me DC's weaknesses.
Well, I hate to do this to you, Brian, but I'm going to look at the opposite side of the coin of what you just said.
Right.
So, you know, so yes, these movies are starting with their heaviest hitters. They're starting with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly ask that the audience, you know, take what they already know about these characters in to watch these movies. And in my experience, that has not really been a good thing.
Right.
Like, you know, they expect us to you know, think of Superman as the big blue Boy Scout who, you know, always does the right thing because he has the power to do so. And Superman in the movies is a glum, angsty, misery guts who... who just deflects really awful advice from everyone around him, and spends at least a third of all of his movies just kind of moping and doing nothing. The outcry of the end of Man of Steel, or spoilers in the audience, when he broke General Zod's neck, you know, that hit a lot of the comic book faithful kind of hard. Because Superman doesn't kill. It's just he is the character who is so powerful he never ever needs to kill. But that was not really established in this movie,
right.
You know, in this interpretation of the character. We just kind of assumed that. So I just feel like if the script had, you know, set up this quandary, if they, you know, if they laid out just how, you know, unstoppable Zod was otherwise, mm-hmm. I mean, they already established the Phantom Zone. Is it beyond the pale that Superman could have found a way to put him back there?
No, I don't think so, no.
I mean, he put him back in the Phantom Zone in the original set of films. Mm-hmm. I know they don't translate one to the other, but mm-hmm. you would assume...
So then going into BVS, you know, we expect Batman to be, you know, the world's greatest detective, you know, the man who can prevail over everything if he has a week to plan. And we got a guy who, while played by Ben Affleck, which a lot of us were ultimately very satisfied with, we have a guy who is kind of a paranoid schizophrenic who listens to the nightmares that he has nightly to warp his, you know, his decision making. and he wants to kill Superman because Superman wrecked a city while fighting another evil Superman. And he also likes quoting from Dick Cheney, saying if there's even a 1% chance that he could go bad, then we have to take that as an absolute certainty that he will. I mean, I know the Dark Knight movies were kind of products of the Bush administration, but I was really hoping we would have gotten past that by now. I have a lot of issues with the characterizations in the DCEU movies. That they are, it's not just that they are, you know, contrary to what we believe. It's that the movies don't take the time. They expect us to take everything at face value. They don't take the time to establish, to characterize the new status quo of these films. We're left clinging to what we brought into the theater, and there's cognitive dissonance that results from that.
Okay, so, all right, Brian, same thing. Give me the weaknesses that Marvel has.
Well, in comparison, Marvel, Marvel had seemingly built this shield around them that almost seems nigh impenetrable. I feel like their biggest weakness doesn't necessarily involve their movie universe, but whenever they try and tie stuff in, because, and it's such a small thing, but, you know, you have all these different TV shows that are seemingly tied into the MCU right now. My biggest thing was when they brought in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and hey, Coulson shows up, that kind of just diminished the impact of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And death, that's been a big thing that a lot of people have said about the MCU in general, is that it doesn't seem like death is a permanent thing.
Yeah, I could help you list all the people who we thought have died and just come back. Nick Fury. Jarvis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we have time for a whole list, but I think we get the point.
Groot.
Okay, fair. Okay, that's an important one, though.
I am Groot.
All right. Keep going. Sorry.
So, really, I mean, that's kind of like my biggest thing about the MCU. Some people, I mean, and this is more of a stylistic thing, a lot of people have said that the soundtracks to the movie, to the movie universe, have not been the greatest, which I completely disagree with, but apparently a lot of people don't. Like, for instance, a lot of people thought that the soundtrack to Captain America the Winter Soldier was bad, which I kind of disagree with, but whatever.
I probably can't hum it for you, but I will absolutely hum the Avengers theme if you ask.
Now, that's funny enough, there actually is a video on YouTube right now about why the music in the MCU is not really that memorable, if you want to check that out. So, you have that, but ultimately, I don't really see many weaknesses, and that's honestly a good thing for the MCU. I'm hard pressed to really find one big glaring one, except for death not being a permanent thing.
I can think of one.
What's that?
Iron Fist.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I like Iron Fist. I liked it.
There were some elements of it, but overall, I think they really let down all the possibilities of the. Of the storyline. It's like Iron Fist was set up in two seasons of Daredevil and elements in actually mostly in Daredevil with Madame Gao and with like the Hand.
Uh-huh.
And it bothers me when Madame Gao was revealed as being part of the Hand when she was clearly a separate organization in Daredevil. It's just like everyone loves those damn zombie ninjas. You know, throw them in here. Because hey, Iron Fist is Chinese. That's where ninjas come from, right? Yeah.
I mean, if they're going up that rationalization, it's.
But no. Harold Meacham was pretty boss though, as he was the evil CEO of a multinational corporation and a swamp zombie. So the MCU is showing us how both Norman Osborn and Solomon Grundy are done.
Nice. All right. So we've done strengths and weaknesses. How about stories? I want you guys to tell me what was. So we'll go back to the Marvel DC.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, give me your favorite Marvel story to now.
I want to say that was Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. All right, why?
It is just it. Winter Soldier is a deceptively serious and high-minded movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so many of these movies have been they've been. As much as I've liked them, they have admittedly just been kind of popcorn, affair. The morals, the complexities are not quite robust in these films. But gosh, just watching Winter Soldier, coming as a modern take on a character who was a period piece beforehand, and talking about, you know, what basically freedom versus security, the benefits that S.H.I.E.L.D. has in the world that turned out to not really be benefits after all, you know, that incredible twist about the corruption of S.H.I.E.L.D., the return of Arnim Zola, a character I really liked in the first movie that I thought was, there's no way in hell he's going to be in this movie, and he still showed up in this movie in a fashion that was actually very reflective of his character in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier is probably the closest we're going to get to a Black Widow movie anytime soon. I really liked her elements to that. Robert Redford was a pretty interesting villain.
Yeah.
And the Winter Soldier himself, like Sebastian Stan, was quite a git to have been a very not terribly comic accurate Bucky Barnes in the previous movie. But he was a fantastic Winter Soldier, and one other feather in this movie's cap. I hated the comic Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah,
I've only recently started rereading it, but when I originally read it when it came out in 2005, I thought it was the dumbest goddamn idea ever. Like, what's going to happen next month? Is Spider-Man going to have to fight an evil cyborg Uncle Ben?
Well, hopefully
that,
not.
Is that not what Winter Soldier basically is?
Well, no, it is. You're right.
But that story worked as a movie far better than it worked as a comic. And that was just another accomplishment to throw on the pile.
And you can say the same for Civil War.
Admittedly, in case you guys don't know who we are, one thing you need to know about me, I hate Civil War. The comic from 2006. I was crestfallen when I heard it was going to be made into a movie, and it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
All right, so Brian, go ahead. What's your favorite DC story?
My favorite DC, at least in this universe so far.
I mean, I know I'm kind of limiting it to you to three films instead of 15.
It's kind of limiting, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me preface it by saying that I think Wonder Woman looks like it's going to be really, really good. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. But out of the three that have come out right now, you know, you have Man of Steel, BVS, and Suicide Squad. You know what? I actually saw Suicide Squad in theaters when I was out in California for another convention. And that was not... I had fun watching it, but upon rewatch... maybe not the best movie. I think out of all three of those, I would have to say Man of Steel. We already just talked about, you know, some of the weaknesses of that movie, but I do think that as a modern retelling of Superman goes, you know, if you put aside all the stuff with General Zod and the killing and whatnot, I do think that there are... I don't know. It does feel like it is a Superman movie for the 21st century. I wish that they would have not killed Zod. But, you know, it...
So it's a Superman more grounded in reality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it...
As flawed as that film is, I did like it quite a lot better than Superman Returns.
Yes. Because, you know why? Superman actually throws a punch in this movie.
Yeah.
Superman Returns, he does not throw a single punch.
The climactic battle of Superman Returns is lifting an island of kryptonite into space.
Yeah, yes.
Like, it's kryptonite. How can he do that?
Yeah, I know. It's the logic sometimes is ludicrous. But hey, comics. Actually, you know what? Since we've got people here now, let's turn to the audience. What's your name?
Patrick.
So same question I'll pose to you. So what would you say, Marvel or DC? You can pick, just because I know where their allegiances lie. So
Marvel.
All right, so Marvel. Okay, so what was your favorite Marvel cinematic film thus far? Yeah. There is no wrong answer.
Is that the wrong one?
Are you the Marvel versus DC panel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect. I found you. I would say... Well, it's not part of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Whoa. What
like
is
Spider-Man
it?
2.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I mean, it's...
Spider-Man 2? No.
Spider-Man 2. Okay, so... I mean, not necessarily part of the MCU, but it's a good movie. But all right, so out of MCU, what would you say?
Out of MCU,
don't be cliche.
I would go with first Iron Man. It's just too good.
Mm-hmm. That's a movie that still holds up to this day.
It was still amazing.
Yeah. Does it, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard because I don't like the villain. That's the problem.
Which one? Obadiah. Ten Rings? Oh, I honestly thought Obadiah was probably a better villain than, say, the Ten Rings in that film.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean, again...
I mean, it's Jeff Bridges, for God's sake. I mean, come on.
You know, but the problem is, and I'm not saying that I didn't buy the Ten Rings. It was just... Even in the 60s, with Iron Man's introduction, they just went to their go-to. Because obviously, you know, America's in the middle of Vietnam. So, hey, Asians, we're going to stick it to them. They're the villains.
So in this film,
what do? They did it.
Made it the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, it was anybody who, you know, is considered a terrorist. But, so...
In the 80s, it would have been a Russian.
Exactly, yeah. They're just following the trends that the time sets.
But you technically do get a Russian in Iron Man 2.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But at the same time...
They call me Whiplash.
At the same time...
Get run over 10 times by a car and still come back.
To be fair, in the 1960s, after the whole excursion to Vietnam, pretty much all Iron Man fought were Russians.
Well, yeah, but again, it was...
What about Mandarin, though?
It was an adjustment of the times.
And Mandarin.
Mandarin. Oh, no. Anyway, but yeah, I just like the fact that they brought in what you thought would have been, say, a secondary villain in Obadiah Stane, and he ended up... being the overarching villain of the film, which I thought was much better than just going to a stereotypical...
I feel like it's a decent twist. I mean, I've certainly spoken to people who said, like, I had no idea that Obadiah Stane would be the villain of the movie, and I have to suppress my knee-jerk reaction to say, his name is Obadiah Stane!
Look at his face!
I mean, yeah, it's just with a name like that, you've obviously murdered two people. Very least.
Wait a minute.
So, let me ask
you... Talk to me!
Alright, so... Heroes. Favorite hero in the MCU, Jordan. What would you say? Who would you say is the vanguard hero of the MCU?
I would absolutely have to say it comes down to two who helpfully faced off in one recent movie, but
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Captain America.
Okay.
Captain America has been in. It's certainly been in the most, you know, absolute quality films. I mean, it's been said that that every hero has a poor second outing. You know, Iron Man 2, Thor: The Dark World. Although Guardians 2, I thought was quite good.
Oh, it was it was excellent.
But
we won't spoil it if you haven't seen it yet.
But like I said, but Winter Soldier is my favorite MCU movie, and Civil War again both those films were largely inspired by runs in the comics that I utterly despised. And the movies turned them around, I have to say that Cap is what I feel like Cap is what I expected Superman to be in the DCEU movies. He is the you know, effortless good guy. He is the Rock. I mean, I've heard it said that he has no character arc in the first Captain America. He starts off as a really decent guy, and his only arc is getting the power to actually, you know, make a difference with his inherent goodness. But he can't say he doesn't suffer for it, you know.
That's true.
He can't get drunk anymore. Although he did helpfully shave his asthma, which, you know, if you really listen to what Dr. Erskine said the serum does, that it multiplies all of your qualities. I was afraid that his asthma would be 1,000 times worse, but no, apparently not. But
He would have come out of the pod, but like,
I mean,
that would have sucked.
But of course, you know, his rival is Iron Man, and Iron Man is obviously the more sparkling personality. You know, he is the guy who completely kickstarted this whole mad experiment, and that is very admirable. But I have certainly disagreed with way more of his decisions in the films. You know, he is not a Rock. He is pretty erratic, and it seems that no matter how many times he wants to retire, he just comes right back and then builds a robot that nearly destroys the world. Like, oh, I guess I'll retire this time. No, I'm back, and here I am, you know, punching my best friends in the face. Because they won't fall in line for, you know, they won't take responsibility for my mistakes.
But what if he just retired and didn't build a robot?
Do you honestly see that happening?
No.
Okay.
Well, we already know he's going to be in Spider-Man, so obviously that didn't work out either.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brian, so same question. favorite hero? Who do you believe would be the Vanguard for the DC Cinematic Universe? I already know the answer, but I just want to hear your rationalization for it. It's Batman.
It's Batman.
Okay. I was actually a little afraid he was going to say Green Lantern for a second there. But
no. No.
No.
No.
No. Batman definitely seems like he's seen some shit in this universe so far. Obviously, it seems like we have a more fleshed out past, or rather, we have hints of a past that he's got. You know, like we see that we've got.
Past Robin.
The death of Robin.
Yeah.
And I would also say that this Batman is far more emotional.
Yes.
Than any other Batman. I mean, even Christian Bale's Batman, which everyone lauded was the best cinematic Batman ever.
I know we're an occupant.
I mean, but everybody played off, Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney. Anytime the parent's death is mentioned, it's just a stoic look.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's like, I did it. I killed my family. Rose falls. You know, pearls snap everywhere. That's all you get. Ben Affleck, literally is having night terrors through half of Batman v Superman, either with his parents' death or, those harrowing visions.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Man-Bat just shows up out of that mausoleum. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay.
It doesn't have to make sense. It's comics, Brian.
Comics.
And then, of course, there was that one vision in which the Flash busted out of thin air and said, Batman, Lois is the key. This is an oblique reference to Crisis on Infinite Earths so that 1 in 100 people in the audience would get. Boo!
If you don't get Crisis, then Injustice. Ooh.
Why?
But yeah, I feel like Batman's definitely gonna be DC's rock because he has been DC's rock in multiple different versions. So
whether we like it or not.
Right, so.
Okay, so we said heroes. So villains.
Mm-hmm.
Best Marvel villain.
It's I kind of want to say Loki. Just Loki has far and away been the most successful villain. He's recurred, which is more than a lot of villains can say.
That is
true. While a lot of people tend to dump on Thor: The Dark World, the Thor Loki team up second act of that movie was solid gold to me. That was reason enough for me to add it to my collection.
Obviously, Malekith might have been a more weaker villain. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the villains in Marvel, they are sources of derision, and I feel the reason for that is because the movies clearly care about the heroes a lot more, and that's hardly a wrong-headed move. And so, and because the heroes tend to be, you know, very, very glib, very, type A personality, friendly, funny type people, the villains have to be that opposite, so they are just cold, scowling misery guts.
Mm-hmm.
Compare Malekith to, say, Ronan from Guardians, and then compare them to, say, Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
Right.
Whiplash likes birds. That's about the only way his personality is a lot different than, say, Ronan.
I want my bird. What? I want my bird. Bird. Mickey Rourke.
I mean, or how about Caecilius from Doctor Strange? Not a hell of a lot of personality there, but, at least Caecilius, he thinks he's doing a great thing for the entire world. He's going to merge Earth with the Dark Dimension where all life is eternal. Because time is the real enemy. Time is a predator, and if we all go to the Dark Dimension, then we won't have to worry about anything. About the frailties of this mortal coil. It's basically a better version of Star Trek VII.
Also, he does something interesting that not a lot of Marvel villains do. He challenges the hero on a mental level.
Mm-hmm.
He brings up that whole thing about the Ancient One.
Mm-hmm.
Where does she get her powers and all that stuff?
Right.
And I thought that was very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them is like punch, punch, punch. Doctor Strange was a movie about challenging your psyche, your mind, and your mentality. And even the way that he defeats the main villain is very creative.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Well said. Questioning everything, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so Brian,
yeah.
Best DC villain. Mm. Please don't say Joker.
And actually, second place, Kingpin, if he counts.
Yes. No, he counts.
Kingpin counts.
He's in the universe.
He's in.
I might also throw
Netflix and the MCU are connected. We know this. So.
I might also throw an Ultron. I liked Ultron. I mean, he was definitely more of
a... Ultron, I would say, is a bronze finish.
I've been back and forth on Ultron. I mean, he's definitely a lot chattier than most of the villains.
Mm-hmm.
It does help that he's essentially a dark mirror of Tony Stark.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, Brian, top DC villain.
Top DC villain. Again, I got to go with Zod, because he's the more fleshed out villain.
I'm... nothing to choose from.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, because Suicide Squad, it's like, you know...
I didn't write him.
Ooh, well, I'm coming for you.
Wavy.
I will find him!
Yeah, for those of you listening at home, the gentleman to our left just attempted a belly dance like the Enchantress.
Oh, I didn't know you were recording. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. Enchantress. It's all about the live ambiance.
By the way, who would win in a fight, Enchantress or Rita Repulsa?
Who?
Rita Repulsa.
Well, they both have an army of putties.
Yep. And they both like to talk like this.
And well, okay, Enchantress has one giant guy. I'd say Rita has a near endless, exhaustive supply of giant guys.
If we're going off of the movie universe, she only has one.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So yeah, Goldar. But anyway,
there you go.
All right. So it was funny because when we were researching this, we actually wrote up a list of all the films from Marvel and DC, and it's so depressing. Because you got Marvel, you got Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, The First Avenger, Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers 2, Ant-Man, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then Spider-Man Homecoming. And then you come to DC. You got Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman. Technically speaking, I could add Green Lantern to the list, but really, who wants that?
And again, and technically speaking, you could also add Jonah Hex.
I could.
You can't say Jonah Hex didn't happen in continuity 160 years ago.
That's a fair argument. So if you actually saw Jonah Hex, though,
right? Yeah, who saw Jonah Hex?
Okay.
Okay. No. Okay. All right, it counts. Nope. Give it here. Give it up.
Again,
Jonah Hex. You know,
it's not a good movie, but if you're interested, it's not going to be a huge investment because it's barely 70 minutes long.
Yay! Josh Brolin is scarred, and who else is in that?
Megan Fox.
Oh, that's right.
And Will Arnett. I love the fact that Will Arnett basically plays Jonah Hex's angry police chief.
He's basically like Joe without personality and charm.
God damn it, Hex, the president Grant's been up my ass about the Southern secessionists.
Ugh. And he does the frantic Will Arnett. He's like, you gotta do this right now. You're always frantic.
Will Arnett. It's,
it was not a good use of your Will Arnett. Lego Batman, better use of your Will Arnett.
Fair enough.
But,
okay, so what would you change about the universes? I'll start with you, Jordan, because I know you like the MCU, so, mm-hmm. But I actually would like to hear what you personally would change.
You know what the MCU, the MCU has a really diverse portfolio. It's not just the quantity of the movies, it's the type of movies. I like the fact that we've had spy thrillers, we've had heist movies, and we've had space operas. And like political thrillers, the MCU has cast a very wide net. You know what the MCU absolutely needs? They need a Suicide Squad. They need a villain movie.
Like, okay.
It's sad that Sony was actually leading up to like a Sinister Six kind of movie,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't really see the appeal of that at the time years ago. But after seeing Suicide Squad, I feel like Suicide Squad could have worked had it been more of a villain movie. If the protagonists didn't they said they were bad guys often, but at the end of the day they still defeated an enemy way outside their weight class, and damn near saved the world. So, I mean, I guess you could argue that maybe isn't really a Suicide Squad story if you know much about the comics about the very morally gray black ops that they usually go on.
Right, because they only lost one teammate, right?
And Slipknot.
Diablo died too.
Ah, okay. Oh, no, you got. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Or we could remember the guy who could climb anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's who I was referring to.
But
what a great character.
I would love for like I would love essentially for like a Sinister Six kind of movie, the one that allows you to try and sympathize with the villains, because again the villains have been kind of milquetoast in a lot of MCU properties.
Who would you want to put in that movie then?
Well, I mean that's actually a really good question. I probably should have thought that far ahead. Like I said, the Sinister Six concept is still that sounds attractive to me, but I mean. Gosh, there's so few existing villains to choose from because so many of them don't survive the movies.
Right,
I'd love for Red Skull to come back.
Oh my god!
I would personally
he leads like the Masters of Evil, and
I would love that.
And it could be building up to an assault on the Avengers, but then one of his allies, jumps the reservation in a very big way, and he has to fight the other villain for no better reason than to prevent the news of the Masters from getting out and spoiling the whole Avengers heist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'd follow that little excursion.
All right, Brian. How about you, Brian? The DC Universe. What would you change, short of starting it all over again?
Pull off the list.
All right, item one. No, I'm kidding. honestly, I mean, I would try and get better writers in there. I mean, all I really, really want is a good story, and I want good characterization in these films. I feel like, we're kind of too far deep into it to really be able to backtrack from that, but I feel like maybe we can write the ship in some way, shape, or form. I honestly don't know what the answer would be for that, save, again, for us to have better filmmakers and better writers. Because these are beloved characters, I feel like maybe, per the discussion, their characterizations have been kind of misguided. Maybe, I mean, it does kind of feel like, I don't know, it kind of feels like the New 52, almost. In that these are characterizations of characters that, we love, but, this isn't really who we remembered them being. So maybe we need some kind of, rebirth, if you will.
You brought up a good point, though. Remember the scene in Batman v Superman where the Flash goes back in time?
Yeah.
Why not pull a Days of Future Past kind of thing, where maybe Flash goes back in time to the many different infinite universes.
So that'd be a Flashpoint scenario.
That would be cool, because what you
then you could retrocon everything.
You could have Superman, change his mind and be like, all right, I'm not going to kill Zod.
Just pluck out his laser eyes.
And see where the universe goes from there.
Not
nice beach.
Well, the DC...
Freeze breath, yeah.
The DCEU does have something of an insurance policy out right now, and that's the fact that of all of their TV properties, like, with the exception of Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow, all of their TV properties are demonstrably in separate universes. They're not going in on the instant verisimilitude of the Marvel method, and I mean I suppose that's the right call.
I mean, you could argue that you have your Earth 1, your Earth 2, your Earth 3, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And those are all concepts that can be introduced in the show.
I actually remember reading a theory that what the universe that we're watching right now is actually Earth 3, and then in the movies,
okay,
is Earth 3. Because these are, more villainous takes on these characters. You could argue that. I mean, just for the sake of conversation, that was what
Is Earth 3 the crime syndicate?
Yes.
Yeah, the crime syndicate.
Well, I mean, I'd really hate to look at, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman and declare them to be outright villains. That
right.
seems kind of coarse of me to do so. But
I mean, it was a
thing. Well, name one superhero-y thing they've done.
I mean, Superman did save Earth. Yes, he had to murder.
Superman did save the people on that oil derrick shortly before he impaled that one dude's truck on a telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
Completely separate scenarios, though.
To be fair, that guy was being a total dick.
He deserved his livelihood to be destroyed.
Superman did try to fly Doomsday out into space, and then he got swatted down by a nuclear missile
because this was
Dark Knight Returns that happened in Dark Knight Returns, so it has to happen here.
Right.
But was that based off of what he wanted to do, or a retcon of the writers? They argued that we brought it to the city, so let's get him out of the city.
Well, what you could argue is, because again, remember that, Man of Steel was Superman basically learning to fly, and the first things that he was doing, it's been argued that the impact of him taking that life and the destruction of Metropolis, he learned from that, and that's the reason why the first time that he sees Doomsday and the destruction he's causing, he takes his ass up to space away from where he can cause any more damage. Because he's like, that's not going to happen again. He's learned from that. He's like, nope, okay, up to space with you. So.
You will believe a man can learn to fly.
That's a good argument.
All right, so this we're going to wrap up with this last question, but I want to open it to the floor.
Yes.
All right, well, I'm going to start with you guys, though, but I'm going to open it to everybody here. So with all the movies that have come out in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Cinematic Universe, what movies would you want to see come out that haven't been already announced? So, Jordan, what in Marvel Cinematic Universe would you want to see that hasn't been announced yet?
Okay, I think I answered this last question, but I'll try again. Like I said, other than the, like a Masters of Evil type movie.
Well, that was a villain, so I'm saying what other property? Like maybe a hero that hasn't been introduced.
Okay, Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I really like Moon Knight. He's like Batman, but with dissociative identity disorder. What's not to love? Of all of the possible characters for like a Netflix series, he is the obvious next choice. He's very street level. All of his really interesting stuff are just rattling around in his head. So that's a fantastic acting opportunity for a. For any character actor to take. He has a really robust supporting cast, and the really interesting thing is like practically every member of the supporting cast refers to him by a different name because he prefers to keep it that way, I guess.
Fair enough.
You know, he has a slew of wonderful toys. Think of anything that Batman has. Replace the words bat with moon, and so you're kind of there.
Okay, all
right.
So he has moon shark repellent then.
Probably, but
okay.
But the kind of story he would tell, I'd like to think they'd be a lot more like psychological horror based. Like horror is a genre that the Marvel hasn't really touched on yet. And since we're still not terribly certain if they're going to bring Wesley Snipes back to do Blade again,
right?
Then,
you think they would, though?
He's got to beat the rap first.
He wants that to happen.
Well, of course, he hasn't been relevant in 20 years.
He's got to pay off that debt somehow. Brian.
You know, this is,
and by the way, I should specify, this doesn't have to be just strictly DC or pick any
right.
out of the either.
I mean, I don't know, honestly, I want to see a series of movies that really go into the Green Lantern universe, mainly, and I do want them to get it right, but like, I love the Red Lanterns, I love the Black Lanterns.
Darkest
and,
Night.
Yes. I would love a Blackest Night movie, but it needs to be set up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there needs to be really high level stakes involved. You need to have the prophecy of the Blackest Night happen. You need to have, you know, like the light shattering, and you need to have all these different things. And before you even do that, you need to set up Hal Jordan, you need to set up the Green Lantern Corps, and you need to set up the fight between him and Sinestro.
Mm-hmm. It would probably also help if you had a fair roster of superhero or even villainous characters who have already died.
Yes.
Because so right now you
have
really
to bring them back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So hopefully
Gerald Zod and Jimmy Olsen, you know, just rocking up together and
all right, here we are, all two of us.
I will fight him.
Well, technically Superman.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's dead. He's alive.
Well, I mean, of course, Henry Cavill's already tweeted, like, here I am on the set of Justice League. So yeah. it kind of ruins that illusion. But
yeah, I mean, they can also bring back Doomsday. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doomsday technically was Zod, but let's not talk about that.
I mean, honestly, my biggest problem with Doomsday and that, I mean, because like, I'm the kind of guy that likes to look at a lot of the behind the scenes stuff and like see what alternate visions might have been for, you know, different characters. For instance, like Spider-Man 3, they actually were going to go, they were optioning maybe doing the classic symbiote suit instead of what we got. They did this same thing with Doomsday, where like they were actually going to have a more comic accurate, like, you know, all the spikes coming out of him and stuff, and they just decided not to go with it and make him look more like a Ninja Turtle. So
I mean, it doesn't matter if they went with it; they should never have gone with it.
Yeah. No. I feel like they should have saved Doomsday for another movie. I really do.
Man of Tomorrow.
You know, but what are you going to do? Right. I do hear Brainiac's going to be in the second Man of Steel, though.
That's genius. Because he's like, the second most powerful thing that Superman fights? And he would have to fight him on an intellectual level, too.
I would maybe love to see, you know, like, not only that, but Bottle City Kandor. Yeah. That'd be amazing. I like
okay. So, all right, so we got you guys, but let's start talking with our audience here. So, what's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Tony.
Tony. Hey. All right, Tony, so why don't you tell us what movie you'd like to see? Either universe. What movie would you want to see?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot.
Oh, don't worry. Everybody's getting their due time.
I'm more of an interjector. I honestly, after like doing a lot of research after the debacle in 2015, I really want them to get the rights to the Fantastic Four. Learning about the universe and that, and how they could incorporate it into the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. And since they, with you know Doctor Strange, they introduced the idea of the multiverse.
Yes.
So we can like actually go see different versions of like characters and all that stuff.
It's funny you mentioned that because we were actually because we drove here from Maryland this morning.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah. And so,
thank you.
Thank you. So we were actually discussing this in the car. So Brian had heard talk that there was going to be a Fantastic sequel. And Jordan has heard, right?
I hope not. I really hope not.
We don't want it. It's just we've heard it. But Jordan has heard word that because the loss that Fantastic took at the box office, they might be interested in selling it back to Marvel.
Well, why not do what Sony did, which I thought was pretty brilliant, co-opt, like partnership. Like, help them mold the story. They can still get the rights and produce it, but let Marvel Studios guide it the right way.
Yeah. And in that deal, Sony has hardly traded in their pride because they're already talking about, yeah, we're going to have a Venom movie and starring Tom Hardy.
It's like, well,
and of course, Homecoming hasn't even come out yet.
If Homecoming does well, I mean, they could use the traction for that. They could use that burst of energy to kind of propel them into the right direction. And maybe it might boost their confidence back up and actually make some risky choices.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about the original Spider-Man films, but they made a couple risky choices.
They did.
So, the emo Peter Parker from Spider-Man 3 was a risky choice.
No.
Not a right one, but it was a risk.
Now, I totally agree with you about the Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is potential writ large.
Yes.
They are, I've read a lot of comics starring them, and they can fit anywhere.
Yes.
They are like the most modular, the most malleable type of super team out there. They can stop cosmic threats as easily as they can stop bank robberies.
And I would love to see how Marvel Studios handles a character like Reed Richards.
Can you also imagine what the suits would look like? Because I mean, honestly, like there's a certain style to Marvel.
Please make them colorful.
Right.
I don't want black and bleak.
Yeah.
And yet, of the four Fantastic Four movies, yes, I'm counting the Roger Corman one. They're all kind of the same. They're all about Doctor Doom. They're all about. The origins essentially, and even Rise of the Silver Surfer ends up just being about Doom.
Doom takes his power.
It's not neither Silver Surfer nor the giant fart cloud that we're expected to believe is Galactus. They're not really the focus of that film.
Nope.
You know, what would be really really out in the box. What if they did a whole movie about the Council of Reeds? Like, he actually finds that whole planet with the different reads from the different dimensions.
That would be great, but the setup for that would
take forever.
Years. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see that.
It is out of the box. All
right, so Patrick, right? Patrick?
Yep.
All right, Patrick, what would you want to see?
By the way, I love your Winston shirt.
Thank you. I would love a straight comedy from Marvel. Like, just, like, hilarious. Mm. And but with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out, I really, like, it just makes me really want a Howard the Duck movie.
Yeah.
It's shocking how far we have come to the worst, and now everyone's like, you know, that duck is not half bad.
No, I really
When of course, he was in the...
Oh, he's all right.
When, of course, Howard was in the after-credit sequence of the first Guardians, I said to myself, oh, my God, Marvel just made a better Star Wars movie and a better Howard the Duck movie than George Lucas could ever make.
Yeah.
But he's perfect exactly where he needs to be. Small doses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I could see a Howard the Duck movie.
Yeah,
would you
though?
I would totally go see that.
I wanted to see a Batman v Superman movie too.
You know what? I mean, the thing is, Batman v Superman had its. I mean, again, the problem is that with Batman v Superman, they took public opinion and they made a snap reaction,
and reshot half the movie, so now it was completely incoherent. But it had elements going for it, to be honest. It tried to do world building. Yeah, it stumbled. I mean, hopefully Wonder Woman will, again, like Brian said, right the ship. Please, I just want one good movie.
By the way, I'm hearing that the reviews that this is getting is they're comparing it to Dark Knight. Now, that is a large.
Hold on, everybody.
Now, yes, that is a large bite to swallow. Okay,
large. I seem to remember critics comparing the Wonder Woman TV pilot from like 5 years ago. They compared it to the Dark Knight unfavorably. Insofar as Wonder Woman was like torturing people who were confined to hospital beds, because that's something the Dark Knight would do.
Tell me the truth.
I mean, the Ben Affleck Batman might do that, but it's not your turn. So, what's your
Avi?
Avi, what would you like to say?
Yes.
I would want that.
Give that man a trophy.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing, and I wanted to mention this because I was talking about maybe with you, Brian. The other day, I saw the third trailer for Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Why would you do that?
I did.
With Donald Glover in it.
They should not have ruined that.
Well, here's the thing. What we know about Spider-Man: Homecoming is that this is the only Spider-Man film within the MCU that has been announced thus far. To me, this is pure speculation on my part. I want to get that out of the way upfront. Full disclosure. I'm thinking they're going to introduce Donald Glover's character as Miles Morales because Columbia and Sony own the rights to Peter Parker's Spider-Man. So they could technically introduce Ultimate Universe Spider-Man within the MCU because Donald Glover's character would be introduced to Peter Parker. Again, all hearsay. There's no proof of it, but everybody's been screaming that Donald Glover should be playing Miles Morales. I do not know if Sony owns the rights to the Ultimate Universe character.
I was about to say, like, isn't he a part of a different universe?
I'm pretty sure they do by virtue of Nick Fury looking like Samuel L. Jackson.
That is true.
You want a very good point.
But maybe I'm wrong on this, but that's Nick Fury Jr., correct? That is
in the comics, I guess, kind of. But in the MCU, no, he's not Nick Fury.
No, I know. In the MCU, it's Nick Fury, but in the comic books, it's Nick Fury Jr. Yeah. So you could say that they're just taking a liberty with the, you know. Yeah. But again, I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm saying that Miles Morales might take over as Ultimate Spider-Man. That way, MCU can continue making Spider-Man films.
I'll hold you to your word, then.
Now, what other elements would you want in that Spider-Verse movie?
I don't know.
Would you like, for instance, Ultimate Spider-Man, Noir Spider-Man? Would you like all the Spider-Men to appear?
Silk, or Spider-Gwen?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm quite a fan of Spider-Gwen. But the problem with introducing Spider-Gwen in a Spider-Verse movie is you kind of have to kill off 616 Stacy real fast in order to make her appearance actually matter in the way that's intended to.
Honestly, I'd love to see Emma Watson, you know, come back as Spider-Gwen.
Maybe.
And also...
He means Emma Stone. Ignore him.
Sorry. I have had no sleep. Thank you for the credit. Mm-hmm. And then also, who knows? Maybe bring back Tobey Maguire. Maybe bring back Andrew Garfield.
That does open that.
And I actually, Helen said, I thought, like, if they brought back Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire...
Exactly.
And with Tom Holland just for one movie.
I would pay.
I mean,
you know what?
Shut up and take my money.
You know what? So, what if Marvel Studios pitches that as a one shot, the Spidey game? It's like, so what are we doing today, guys? Doc Ock is ruining the city. Okay, let's go. I take the lead.
Oh, just like a buddy cop
movie.
They're
like, arguing like who's taking the lead, and they all like ogle at Mary Jane. It's like, that's my Mary Jane.
Oh God! Don't even get me started on Mary Jane Watson in those movies. She's the true villain of those Spider-Man films. She is. Anyway, that's going off topic. I'm sorry. What's your name?
I'm Jackie.
Jackie. So, hi. Jackie, what would you want to see? Marvel, DC, doesn't matter.
I'm going to come clean. I'm not super into comics. I'm just a very casual fan.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So I don't know specifics, but I really like more female main characters, maybe. More female heroes.
Absolutely.
Any in particular?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, I personally would love to see the Black Widow film.
Yeah, that, I don't know why it hasn't happened. That's the thing, because she's very popular in the movies, isn't she?
Yeah, they actually did a poll. Oh, God, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. They actually did a poll. It was only a sample size of about 900,000 people.
Yeah, it's like, who was the most hated Avenger? And it Black was Widow. Black Widow.
Because she's snarky. How dare she talk to the media?
I mean, honestly, honestly.
Also, you have to remember, this is the internet.
Also true. So
I've been there.
It's a hate-filled cesspool.
Remember Ghostbusters 2016?
Oh, that, God. Basically. Yeah, basically, yeah. The arguments that, against that. But
that was a bad movie.
I mean, again, it's but I would say I would love to see a Black Widow film, personally. Because it leaves, I mean, like, her little, like, cameo, I mean, not her cameos, her like, glimpses into her past in Age of Ultron left me asking questions. Like, I want to know more about the Red Room. I want to know more about this.
Exactly.
Why am I not getting this? Give me this.
May I counter that with a question, then? Why not just incorporate that into one of the other guys' movies? See, the thing about Black Widow is that she is a great character, don't get me wrong, but she falls into a very special category that I think Marvel did very beautifully, of the great side character, the great support.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, out of all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has the best support team. Like, you want to go to war, mm-hmm. Captain America has the best team. He has Falcon, he has Black Widow, he has, you know, the Scarlet Witch, solid support team. It's like Patriots level support team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she works well as a support. When you put her in the center of it all, you would have to craft a very long story and drag it out like that.
I
like a Jessica Jones TV show style.
I mean, you know what? I could see it as a Netflix series, yeah. I could see that more.
Yeah.
But my thing is, in response to that, my thing is that Natasha Romanoff, I haven't gotten any sleep either. Natasha Romanoff is, I feel, could be a main level MCU character and could easily carry her own film. It's just the problem is that I don't think Marvel or Disney, by that matter, is ready to let them run with that yet. You know what I mean? I feel like maybe one more movie where she plays a secondary character, maybe some of that past is more fleshed out, and then maybe we might finally get that movie. I mean, otherwise, I mean, you've got Black Widow, you've got maybe a Scarlet Witch movie, maybe. I mean,
it'd be interesting to see that happen.
I'm just ready for Wonder Woman to be
it. Oh, God, no, seriously, I want Wonder Woman.
I want everyone to love it.
Yeah. I want it. I want that. I want that. You have no idea.
There's two movies I want that are not either DC or Marvel, but apparently one's in production, but we might not be getting one. I want to see a Lumberjanes movie, and I want to see a Rat Queens movie.
Rat Queens?
Rat Queens would be amazing.
It's an Image, right?
Image does that.
Image titles.
It's about these four, you know, basically these four assassins who work in a guild that, you know, go on adventures. And, I mean, they're just really irreverent and funny, and they're just really awesome characters. They're really fleshed out.
Or how about Why the Last Man? Make that a movie trilogy, maybe. Or a
Why the Last Man would have no shortage of female characters now, wouldn't it?
It'd be fantastic. The story is compelling, too. I mean, it's basically Children of Men. But with a guy.
Okay.
It's Men of Men.
Men of Men. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Also, Squirrel Girl.
Right.
Squirrel Girl, what?
She's
going to
be in New Warriors.
She's been confirmed to appear in New Warriors, which is on Freeform, the former ABC family.
Cloak and Dagger,
right. Mm-hmm. And New Warriors is going to be an out-and-out comedy. It's going to be like The Real World, but with superheroes, supposedly.
Sure.
Which, look, I know that doesn't sound great, but the New Warriors Reality Check comic series was one of my favorite interpretations of the team. And so, of course, they all burned to death to kick off Civil War.
Yeah.
So that's another reason I don't like Civil War. But we're getting really pressed for time. Right. You, sir?
What's your name?
Rob.
Rob. All right, what would you want to see?
I mean, it could happen. A prequel to, like, how Rocket and Groot got to where they were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
A solo Rocket and Groot movie? Yeah. I would totally pay money to see
that. I think it has the fan base now that, like, it would work. People would see it. Like, how they got to, like, the third act, how they got to be where they were at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy, like, that mm-hmm. scene.
People would
totally see that.
Saying,
I feel like that script would be really easy to write.
Also, yeah, oh, all yeah. Rules of Bruce. And
yeah, buddy, I'm innocent too.
I read a recent comic book from Scotty Young's run, Rocket Raccoon, in which Groot is like telling a ghost story or something to a bunch of intergalactic Boy Scouts. So there's this rambling a story in which everyone is just saying, "I am Groot" to each other. It's one joke, but it's one joke that easily lasts 20 pages.
But here's the thing. I mean, and the thing is, I would love to see that. And you can even work in a way to, like, basically knock it. Like, for instance, Rocket could be wearing a universal translator, and he knows everything. You put in subtitles so that the audience understands what Groot is saying the entire time, but then have it malfunction at the end. And so now, but he's heard it so many times, he knows the mannerisms down pat.
Actually, you know what?
Because, there you go. There's your answer.
Because film is such a visual medium, I mean, what you could do is, you could literally have the narration be, "I am Groot," but like you could just tell the story visually, like with the medium, like, you know, like just have
also
all these different beats happen. I mean,
also
that,
true.
That would be amazing.
All right, I think we got time for one. No? All right, that's fair enough. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming in and listening to our panel. I mean, I really appreciate it. If you're interested in hearing more stuff from us, we have a panel tonight, our main show, Boldly Going Nowhere. We're doing how to introduce the X-Men into the MCU. If you're interested in seeing that, it is... Oh, God, I don't remember the room number. Tonight, 6:15 p.m. It's in the program somewhere. But if you're interested in seeing that, we have... I'll give you a little taste. It's a Netflix series. We have season one completely fleshed out. If you're interested in seeing that, let us know.
Bent Hole.
Huh?
Bent Hole.
Okay, so down there. So not here, but down there. But if you're interested in seeing that, 6:15 to 7:15 tonight.
And at 10:30 tomorrow in 301, which is just down the hall from here. At 10:30 tomorrow, it's an exclusive debut of the next episode of my video review series known as Geek Critique. And I'll be talking about the one episode of Firefly I dislike.
It's Jane Town.
No, it's not that one.
The Hero Captain.
Well, I think he's going to leave it a secret, so you come. But
it's Out of Gas, actually.
No, I actually really like Out of Gas.
It's the best episode.
He's just going to keep guessing until he gets it.
It's the last episode.
Yeah,
the one
that didn't make sense.
All right, well, thank you all again for coming. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you have any other questions for us, we'll be walking down here.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.
Warning. Wow, that sounded great.